All right, we'll be in Hebrews 11 is where we will be. And so so I have little ones. You guys have all been little ones at one point. And superheroes are a big deal in our house. Boys and girls alike, we have every costume, mask, thing under the sun. We used to drive to, like, Goodwill, and anytime you'd find a mask or something, you'd just buy it. So we had these big, giant tubs of superheroes in my house. My favorite superhero is... Does anybody know? Captain America. Anybody who is not is wrong, if yours is a different one. I get it. Superman probably has the greatest powers. I get that. I don't argue with that. But Captain America is the greatest superhero. How many people would agree? Oh, wow. We have a lot of work to do. A whole lot. Because I don't know what you know about Captain America, but Captain America, for me, he's never wrong. Right? That's, like, who he is to, like, go after what is right. His truth. Honor. Like, that's everything he is about. And he can't go wrong. Like, that's kind of one of his powers. I know you've never thought about it that way before, but that's Captain America. Like, he is after truth. He is after righteousness. That is what he is after. Like, he is going to make it right. And if you don't like it, he's going to run over you to get there. All right? And that is Captain America. Like, he has it all together. And so, one of the greatest things that I love about Captain America is he has a particular line. He's getting beat up. He's getting pounded. He's trying to get up. And he stands up and he's like, you know, he looks like he's about, you know, ready to just fall over. And what does he say? I can do this all day. Right? I mean, he can get up, and no matter what comes his way, he gets up, and he's like, I can do this all day. If you can punch me again, I'm going to be standing right here. It's like, to me, I'm like, it like brings me to tears, because I'm like, man, I want to be like that. I don't want to run away. I want to be this guy. And this is what he does. Like, I can do this all day. Right? And so maybe you feel hopeless tonight. Like, we live in a difficult world, right? I mean, just look at the superhero world. Everything is out to get you. Everything is out to get them. Everything is bad. And yet, he stands up in a hopeless world, and he gives hope. Like, that's the point, right? And so maybe we're hopeless today. And so as we look at Hebrews here, in Hebrews chapter 11, all right, the speaker, the writer is talking to, like, a similar crowd. A crowd that is hopeless, a crowd that at the end are wondering if this whole Christian thing that they're doing is worth it. All right, so he's talking to the church, but he's talking to them in a difficult spot, and they're wondering, is it worth what we're doing, right? Is it worth what we're doing? And so he's going to start out with this. So we're going to get Hebrews chapter 11. It says in verse 1 through 3, if you have your Bibles, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by this our ancestors were approved. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Let's pray real quick. God, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for how powerful it is. And God, if we would just allow it to transform who we are, God, that you would use us to do great things, to be great examples, to teach your word, God, to preach your gospel. Remind us of that tonight as we look at faith and a huge example of that in your word. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. So we see we're going to be talking about faith and, like, the heroes of faith. That's the point of chapter 11 here in Hebrews. You have this list of people that he's going to bring out as this picture of faith, this idea of faith. Of what it looks like, especially for these are like Old Testament people, so it's before Jesus. So they're justified by their faith alone, right? That is what they're having to go off of. They don't have the message of Jesus right out in front of them. They haven't, like, seen that come out. They don't have the New Testament here. They don't have this thing, right? And so they're living this out in faith. Faith is a way of life for these people. Like, it's just who they are. So what's cool about, like, the superhero concept is how often do they want to try to just be normal people? Right? Spider-Man, he just wants to be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He just wants to be normal. Can he be normal? He can't be normal. It's not in him. right? When things get difficult, he has no choice but to do something about it. He has no choice but to live that way, right? And that's the same way with these heroes. They are walking in faith. So when things get difficult and life gets hard, they have no choice but to trust God because that's the way they're walking, right? That's the way this faith is for them. And so we're going to look at one of my favorite examples. It's one you've heard about many times. It's what every person would do when they're coming to teach for the first time in a middle school group is to talk about Enoch. You guys know a lot about Enoch? Well, if you know a couple verses, you know everything that I know. All right? So you have Enoch. Does anybody know? Enoch, since I was a kid, was like a huge deal for me. Mainly because of one thing. Does anybody know his father's name? Anyone? Jared. His dad's name is Jared. So every time as a kid, I was just drawn to Enoch because, oh, his dad's name was Jared. That was really cool, like when I was a kid. And so that's why I like him. But it's caused me to, like, look at this man's life who is spoken about very, very little in the Word. But what you'll see from Enoch especially, I think, is the greatest heroes are those who are the human means God uses to change people forever. The greatest heroes are the human means that God uses to change people forever. And Enoch is one of those. And he gives us hope. Why? Because there's very little spoken about him. He's not this big star in the Word of God. A lot of these people in this list, you guys know. Probably every other one you're pretty familiar with. And yet there's Enoch. So let's read Enoch first. So Enoch is mentioned in Hebrews here, in Genesis 5 that we'll look at. He's mentioned in the epistle of Jude, the tiny little book, and then two more times in the Old Testament, just passing times. All right, just two more times. But first we're going to read Hebrews, all right, 5 through 6. So let's do that. It says in verse 5, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So we have Enoch, right? He's in this list of other people, right? You have Noah, you have Abraham, Sarah, Abel. You have these other big names, and then Enoch is thrown in there, and everybody's like, why is Enoch in there? And so if we look back, so you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want to. All right, we're going to look at Genesis 5, and we're going to see, like, the actual picture of Enoch. Now, prepare yourself. Don't get excited, because it's going to be very short as well. All right, and maybe this is why connect well with Enoch. He's very easy to understand, and I can read everything about him in just a couple of seconds. All right? So we're going to look at Genesis 5. All right? And we're going to read the Enoch section, which is verse 21 through 24. It says, Enoch was 65 years old when he fathered Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and fathered sons and daughters. So Enoch's life lasted 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not there because God took him. So we have two times that it talks about Enoch walked with God. It says it again, right, in Hebrews. It was like the definitive scripture, or the definitive point of Enoch's life was he walked with God, right? Even to the point that at one point he was just like, I'm going to walk on in. God's just going to take me home. I don't have to deal with death. I don't have to deal with any of that stuff. And what's weird is he was very young. Like, if you read the rest of this list, Enoch was how old? 365 years old. And if you, he fathered the oldest man in the Bible, which is 969. So, like, 365, that's like, man, he's just a boy. Like, he's just getting started in life. Right? I mean, he had a son, and then he only lived another 300 years after that. I mean, come on. I don't know why anybody would live that long. That's a long time, but I think they had a little more oomph. You know, I'm 43, and sometimes I feel like I don't know if I can make it to 60. And so we have Enoch, right? He was a young guy. He was a very young guy for his day. But what we're going to see about Enoch is Enoch, as it looks there in Genesis 5, he does something very specific that this verse does for him. There's a genealogy going on here, which is telling this line, right, of people. It's the line of Seth that is going through. And if you'll notice, at the end of almost every other little section in your Bible, it says, then he what? Anybody? At the end of each little section, what does the end of verse 5 say? In Genesis 5.
He died.
What was that?
Then he died.
So it says, verse 5, Adam's life, father, lasted 930 years, then he died. Seth's life lasted 912, then he died. Enosh, 905, then he died. Kenan, 910, then he died. Do you see what's going on here? He died. Then we get to the end of Enoch's section. And it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not there because God took him. You guys, if you know in the Bible, if there's a break in a pattern of some sort, it's a big deal. Like, look at it. So you have Enoch, he break this pattern of then he died. So again, you have very little information of Enoch's actual life, but you know a few things about him, right? He walked with God. He broke this pattern. So what we're going to look at is like five things. Five little lessons from Enoch that I have found in Enoch's life that have been highly important to me. And amazing things that I would love to walk in, right? These lessons of faith. So again, Enoch taken with God. There was only one other person, Elijah in 2 Kings, that was taken without dying. And he was taken off in a chariot of fire. And we don't have time to deal with his life tonight. But that would be a pretty cool way to go too, I guess. But Enoch. So we're going to look. So the first one, all right, point number one is he believed in the one true God. He believed in the true God. So if you look at verse 6, right? Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. All right? So verse 6, he who comes to God must believe that he is. So the first thing is we have to believe in God. We have to believe in not just any God that we think should be. There is a God that is told to us in this thing. And this is the God we're talking about, right? We must believe in the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? So often we find ourselves talking to God, about God, in a way that he's just like way out there, right? He's just kind of this being that's way out there. Hard to know. You can't really know him. Guess what? We can know him. Even Pastor Jim this morning said, yeah, we can't know everything about God, but we can know something about God. And the more that we are in here, but the thing is, we must believe the one true God. It's not just who we think. God's being is not based on our opinion. Like, he is, and it is up to us if we want to know him, right? And again, other than that, what Enoch didn't have was Jesus. And we have this pattern of Jesus' life that points to God, right? Enoch is walking this whole thing in faith, right? In this idea of faith. And so the first thing he sees is we must believe this God. We must believe in him. We must believe that his way is better than ours, right? Enoch believed that his way was better. And the truth of the matter is the fact that he pleased God meant that he was accepting to God. So we already see Enoch, he believed the right guy. He believed in the right God, which means he knew him. He knew who he was, right? This is all on the foundation of our faith. So the important thing about faith is our faith is only as good as the subject or substance of our faith. So if we put our faith in a puny, little, tiny God, that's what we're going to get. But if we see God for who he is, and get to know him and walk with him, all of a sudden we're placing our faith in a very different thing. Right? We're placing our faith in somebody that we may not be able to know everything about. Like, he is bigger than what we can imagine or even think or scope, right? So our faith is only as good as the subject or substance of our faith. And guess what? What I totally believe to be true is how we live is directly tied to what we believe about God. How you live, directly tied to what you believe about the one true God. And that was Enoch, right? He believed in the true God. Not his opinion, not anything else. This God, right? I mean, he's a hero of the faith. It's a big deal. All right? So he believed in the one true God. Number two, we have he sought God's reward. So he sought. You guys use the word sought a lot? You know, when you're at home and you're like, hey, Mom, I sought the bus today and found it. No. It's a weird word, right? But it's very simple, right? To seek, to desire, to go after, to pursue. That's all it's saying. He went after God's reward. He wanted it. He pursued it, right? It wasn't just like it was something out there and he's like, oh, I hope I get that. No, he was after it. Like, he wanted it. So he was willing to do whatever it took to get it, right? That, again, he knew the true God. If we know the true God, we will realize that's what we want. Because that's who God is. So if we find ourselves not wanting that, we're probably putting God in a different place than he needs to be. Right? So he sought God's reward. So verse 6 again. He believed this one true God would reward him for his pursuit. Right? And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I think sometimes there's like this feeling like, oh, Christianity, we shouldn't want something out of it. We shouldn't want good things. We shouldn't want... Man, that's exactly what we should want. Now, sometimes our perspective of what that is a different story. Right? But we should want good things. We come to God because he has everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What he has for us is greater than what we have for ourselves. Right? He sought God's reward. Why? Because he knew he's the true God. He knew it. And because of that, he knew what he had for him was better. God wants to reward us. He wants to give us everything that he has and who he is, if we're willing to see that. But what's interesting is God doesn't want us just seeking whatever we think. In Hebrews 10:38, it says, the righteous shall live by faith. Right? So really what we're seeing is Enoch, as he is seeking God's reward, he's seeking righteousness. He's seeking truthfulness. That's what he's seeking. He's seeking to be righteous and to be holy as God is holy. The righteous shall live by faith. Enoch walked by faith. He sought God's reward, right? So to seek a relationship with God means for us that we are seeking righteousness. We're seeking purity. We're seeking holiness. If we are not seeking those things, guess what? We're not seeking the one true God. We can always turn around and go back. If we're not seeking these things, we're not seeking the true God. We're seeking some imitation that we've created or some imitation that's going to tell us what we're doing is okay and what we're doing is a good thing. But that may not be the case. Psalm 58:11 says, and men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. Proverbs 11:18 says, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. Guess what? God wants to give us great things. But we have to be the ones who are seeking him. We have to seek righteousness. Because we're going to see a little later on why that's so important. So again, we have Enoch, who believed in this moral, holy God, and he sought this reward that he has. Right? He understood that the most righteous thing that we as humans can do is pursue a relationship with a holy God. And again, unlike Enoch, we have this picture of Jesus, and through Jesus, we can pursue this relationship with God. So again, we have he believed the true God, he sought God's reward, and number three, is that picture of who Enoch is. He walked with God. Because he believed in the one true God, because he sought the God who rewards, he walked with God. He walked by faith. Now, this is the Old Testament, right? Sometimes God responded in different ways maybe than he does now, possibly. But regardless, this wasn't a physical person, again, walking with Enoch. He was walking in faith just as you and I, right? We have this picture of Jesus, but it wasn't like there was a physical person walking with him. So he was still walking in faith of who God is, right? Two times, again, in Genesis, he reminds us he walked with God. So again, just like we talked about, when a genealogy is broken, it's important to see why. When things are repeated in Scripture, it's important to see why. Right? So when something is said, right, rejoice, again I say what? Rejoice. Pretty important. You guys should get excited. It's okay to rejoice. So again, it's the same thing here. He walked with God. It says it again. He walked with God. And so what we see is this idea of reconciliation because of Enoch's faith. There is a reconciliation that has taken place. Because guess what? A holy God cannot walk with sinful beings. That's why for us he sent Jesus. Because through Jesus we can now pursue a relationship with a holy God, which before we couldn't. We did not. We weren't capable. We weren't able. And so we have this same. So for Enoch to walk with a holy God, a reconciliation has taken place. And that's what his faith has given him. It says in Ephesians 4, 17 through 18, it says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart." Light has no communion with darkness. Right? Therefore, again, no sinner left in his sin can walk with a holy God. As we turn to Jesus, especially for us now who live in the New Testament times, we look to Jesus, right? He took our sin. He became our payment. Yes, we live this life not perfect, right? But when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. So then we can walk with God because he sees us as righteous and pure and blameless because of Jesus' life. So again, he's walking with Enoch, and because of Enoch's faith, he was declared righteous. So Enoch, he agreed with this God. He pursued this God. He walked with this God. He surrendered his own will, and he decided to trust and obey and believe in this God. He sought communion with God. He wanted to be with him. How many people like to go on walks of people that they don't like? So one of my favorite things that me and my wife like to do is go for walks. So when we lived in Houston, we got in these habits of we'd put the kids on their bicycles, and they would go off. They would just, half the time you're like, I think that's them. And you're like, hey. But it was the greatest time for us because it was like these mini dates that we would go on. And we could just walk, and we could talk, and it was the most wonderful thing. So if I were to walk with somebody that I didn't love, it would seem a lot more awkward, right? People would probably even notice by looking at it. You'd be like, man, those two people. I mean, maybe as married couples, your parents have probably at times where, you could tell. I was like, man, they're not liking each other right now. I can tell that right now. It's easy to see. And yet when they're really flowing as a mom and dad and as a couple, you're like, oh, they love each other. This is a good time. But other days you're like, I walk lightly. All right? And so it's the same thing, right? He walked with God. He wanted to be with God, right? Because again, he knew who this God was, right? He sought his reward. And so that's what he wanted to do, was walk with God. And because of his faith, he was able to do so, right? And so our next one. So we have those three. He walked with God. The fourth one, he set an example. All right? Again, he's on this list of heroes. This guy that has 4 whole verses in the whole Bible. He's on this list of heroes with Abraham, the father of our faith. You know, the father of many nations. Then we have Enoch, and he's on this list. What's really cool is if you look a couple verses down in Genesis chapter 5, we get to Enoch's great-grandson. You guys might know him. He built a big boat. All right? He sailed across the sea. I don't think that's quite how it was. But he did build this boat. But it says this in Hebrews 11. For 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. All right? I do know all the books of the Bible in order, but it doesn't help you get there any faster sometimes. All right? So it says this about Noah. By faith, Noah, after being warned about what was yet seen in reverence, built an ark to deliver his family. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Man, so you have this testimony of Noah. Noah walked with God. You have this example set by Enoch, right? Enoch sets an example. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So it says this in Genesis 6. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. It's the same. Walked with God. Noah walked with God. So all of these things, there is an example that is set. This should be a reminder to us. So me, for all the fathers in the room, this is a reminder for me of how important it is that we are setting an example of what it means, like, what it means to walk with God, right? What it means to lead our families, our children, our wives well. So some of you in middle school are sitting here going, well, I am not a dad. Good. That's good. All right? We did it. We did well. All right? And so I want to read to you 1 Timothy. All right? We're going to read in chapter 4, verse 12. No one should despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in impurity. Let no one despise you for your youth. Guess what? You might be in middle school. You have the ability to set an example. You have no different than Enoch. Enoch, right? You have all of these abilities. You can seek this God. You can be righteous, right? You can seek righteousness and holiness. You can walk with God, and you can be an example. And even more than that, if you call yourselves a Christian, you are called to set an example. You are called to walk differently. So for me, oftentimes, look at my kids, I'm thinking, man, it feels like the world is worse than when I was a kid. And I want them to like grow up in the world that I grew up in, because it was the greatest. The 80s were the greatest time ever. All right? The movies are PG, but that actually is not true. There's a lot of muting that still has to be done. All right? But it was still the greatest time. And yet, I look at it and I think, man, the world seems difficult. But God does not want me to raise my kids up in the world that I grew up in. He wants me to teach them to walk in faith. Because guess what? The world you guys are growing up in also needs that. They need the message of Jesus. They need the message of Enoch, who walks in faith. So let no one despise you for your youth. Be the example in faith and in purity. Right? So Enoch, he sets the example. And the last one, he preached the word of God. This is the one sometimes we feel to be extra difficult. Well, I could do all those other things. I could feel like I can do that. I could even set a good example. I let everybody before me in lunch line today. But yet, the preaching of the word of God. Right? So it says this in Jude. We're going to read just a little bit more of Enoch. We're almost done here. Jude 14:15. It was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So Jude makes a distinction here, right? He hits the genealogy. There's no question about what Enoch he's talking about. So Enoch is called to preach judgment, right? He's called to preach against false teachers, which are huge at the time, running rampant, right? It's interesting. This quote actually comes from the book of Enoch. I won't get all crazy on you or anything like that. Everybody, there's pins and needles on the left side over here. But it's interesting because it's quoted, right? You have this quote about Enoch's life, all right? Although, just for some light reading, it is interesting. But I am not. It is not part of the Bible. So, and Jude is not saying that. But it's interesting that it's quoted more of the life of Enoch, and it gives us just a little more picture of what he is doing and what he's called to do. So again, Enoch walked with God. Well, maybe he lived in a really easy time, and it was just really easy. No, Jude comes in, he's like, no, it's not easy. It wasn't easy for him. It was hard. Life was difficult, right? He used four different times in the verses we just read, ungodly people. I don't know, but that could remind you of a time that we live right now. Right? We live in a world ungodly. This time that we're talking about with Enoch, before the flood, the world was pretty bad for God to send a flood. Right? And this was before that. So again, Enoch walks in similar shoes as you guys. Life was hard. The world was ungodly. It says in 1 Peter 2:11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul." Guys, he lived a stranger in a foreign land. Just as if you call yourselves a Christian, that's what you are. You're an alien in this place. He lived against the grain of his society. He lived opposite. So he's going this way. The world's going this way, right? Enoch is seeking God. He's seeking holiness. The world we live in is not seeking that. They're seeking to make themselves God and to seek their own perspective, their own opinions. So Enoch comes in to preach what is opposite. Guess what? When you preach the word of God, oftentimes it's not going to be accepted well. I mean, look at Jesus. They either loved him or they hated him. There wasn't a whole lot of in between. And so often that's for us. And if that's what we're called to do, again, that's why I go back to like the superhero thing, because for one, my kids love it. But man, that's what they're doing, right? When everybody else is running, right, because evil is set in, these guys are running in. These guys are going in to save the day. And that's what we're called to do, right? We're called to preach and to teach against what the world is. Why? Because we have the right thing. We have Jesus. We have the opportunity to live holy, righteous lives. He preached the word of God. He stood against the grain of culture, right? That's what Enoch did. And what's cool about Enoch is because he did all of these things. Again, it wasn't about him. It was about who he put his faith in. And because of that, he did not taste death because he walked with God. What a reward. And he did it in the prime of his life. If you lived to be 900, I'm sure that you weren't very coherent. But at 365, like, he's probably still dunking, right? I mean, he's still doing that. And God took him in the prime. Man, what a great, great testimony for us of what Enoch was. Even, again, what's exciting for us is, oh, I don't have a big story. I don't have a great thing to tell. Well, most people that read the Bible would have thought the same about Enoch. And yet, he walked with God. What a great thing. I hope that when my time comes that I go home to be with Jesus. And maybe he comes before I die physically. That would be wonderful too. that people would say he walked with God. I don't think there's any greater thing that I could know. So again, this is Enoch. I hope what you see is, man, this hero of faith really was that. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for Enoch. God, I thank you for his testimony, his life. We don't know a lot about it, but we do know that he walked with God. He was pleasing to you. He sought a life that was pleasing to you. And at one point in his life, he was not, because you took him. God, to know you that way. God, even those sitting in here that are 11 and 12 years old, God, that they can know this God and they can seek a holy and righteous God. And because of Jesus, we can stand before you blameless and we can walk with you. God, we thank you for this night. In Jesus' name. Amen.